Kurt used the hula hoop for that, and they tried to get him to back to rolling it with a stick, and they wouldn't. The kids just wanted to keep dancing. Well, that was probably because the tactile and the proprioceptive effect of television scraped and massaged the inner landscape, and it wanted to wiggle. You know what I mean? Start really, now I wonder, people might say, well, Elvis, they saw Elvis, but usually these were young kids who didn't know about Elvis. So there was a sensory change. Yes.
So, so since the new media now, which is ION, has formed, now you, it's like you're going back into the old medium, like you want to go into social media, now you're recognizing how these old people, how these young people are using social media. And so this is the same for you, right? So you're going back into the old medium, which is
radio.
Yeah, radio is an old medium. I'm trying to make the kids aware of the new medium. So we have to go where they are. They're not engaging ION. They don't know this new medium is here, this new environment. They don't know the changes it's doing to the atmosphere, to chemistry, to, I don't know, whatever else it affects. They don't know that. Now, people do respond.
But they don't know that. Go ahead.
People do respond to the new, and they don't know they respond to the new. They usually do what McLuhan says, the rearview mirror. They think it's something that's familiar to them has changed. So, like, take, for example, Jermaine. Jermaine has been a solo artist all her life, and all of a sudden she got this notion to start bartering with other people. And maybe other people are doing that. That could be an effect of ION on people. They just stop being solo and thinking it's all up to them. And they get into this group interaction. That could be an effect. You know, so ION's a technology that talks about itself. So I think it's unique if we get people to hear ION and say, this is what's altering you. You can actually talk to it. You couldn't talk to television as a form. You couldn't talk to satellites, but you can talk to this technology. So we know that
but there's total involvement with ION. Like, you actually have to call in, speak,
that's when you know about it. People are being affected by ION. Carolyn sees it in her medicine, the way the clients think and talk. They are totally frustrated. They know more and more that regular medicine and doctors are not helping them at all. And they're really opinionated about that. But they don't have any solution. But they're starting to feel the lack. Well, that's because there is a new technology here, and the drug companies can't dominate. They were the invisible new technologies at one point, but they don't have that power anymore. We have the power. So people are feeling strangely indifferent to drugs and to following that method. This is an example. So let's see. So we go into old media this is what McLuhan's principle was. When a new environment shows up, like radio, James Joyce knew that he didn't fully understand the effects, but he knew that writing had to change. And so he started groping around and started writing ridiculous multi-language punning, which turned out to be Finnegan's Wake. He was responding to the new. The artist responds to the new and is usually a pretty good guide. So McLuhan would take Seurat, S-E-U-R-A-T, a famous painter in the 1880s, 1890s in Paris or France, and he started making paintings with these little dots, and it was called pointillism. You ever heard of that, pointillism?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. He became famous. Well, McLuhan said that Seurat was painting television, the little pixel dots. He didn't know that, but you can look at the way he suddenly just wanted to paint that way, and not respond to regular forms of accepted salon painting. And so McLuhan said that Seurat picked up the coming medium of TV, and everybody laughed at him. But whether it's accurate or not, that's his idea, that the artist takes the old technology and knows he has to change it. And usually he changes the old medium, and it looks rather odd, or maybe it can even be popular. And it's an indication of something's afoot that if you get smarter, you can notice why James Joyce changed. You know, why did he change his writing style? If you were smart back then, like Wyndham Lewis, you'd say, he's responding to the radio environment. And then Lewis started talking about that. And then McLuhan carried the ball. So we turn the radio show and social media, whatever we get to do, especially just now radio, we offer a new kind of radio. Just the fact that I can go 25 hours or whatever, you know, and have a space to do it and get away with it, that's a sign of we redoing old media as a new art form. Mm-hmm. And see, I can go 18 hours if Ion's covering at least 5 hours of it, right? It's real easy. I have something that will come in and occupy people's attention for 5 hours, and it turns out to be very entertaining, and then that gives us enough momentum to go 5 hours after Ion leaves. So it's easy to do a 10-hour show, and then you have a couple hours before Ion shows up, so you're up to 12 hours. And then you just take another extra drops of RNA, and you go fucking zombie or extreme like I tend to do, and then you get 18 hours. So it's pretty obvious that it can be done with those kind of adjuncts. Like my statement that I want to be the funniest paid person who ever lived, that's totally possible with Ion, right? It's possible. Mm-hmm.
It is kind of new now how you do it, radio, because even when you have Saturday shows, sometimes I'll go to sleep listening to it, and I wake up in the morning, and it's still on.
Right.
So it's constantly there. And you listen to it on your laptop, on your phone. Like, you can use all different devices to, like, engage or listen to it, and it's on the whole time, and it's happening in the now rather than not only archives, but it's, like, on all the time. Because even if you're not listening live and joining, you can go back to the archives and always be listening.
That's right. So it is. No one has really had the experience of listening to a show, going to bed, waking up later, and the guy's still on. I don't think that's ever been experienced before. And that alters people. That's a new experience. That alters the sense of time. It's almost like illustrating the timeless, the no time zone. And then to go 6 days, many people fainted at the thing by the third day, right? They just couldn't. They thought that I was taking them somewhere, and they were getting tired, and they fainted, right? But I carried on.
And you the best thing about the show, one of the good things about the show, like, is once you start to get involved with it, you can get, like, the synchronizations or the Xenocrates.
Yes. You can experience it, yeah.
Yeah.
When I start doing Ion, when I was doing the Revelation series last week, I don't know if you guys knew, I did 48 hours. I didn't do chapter 23, which is another 20 hours. I did 48 hours in 6 days. I was listening for like 16 hours a day. And there were many times I'd say something, write something down or something, and Ion would say it to me. But it was said back in 2010. You know what I mean? That was I had that experience a couple of times. Like, I'm not going to go look up that Bible quote. I'll get that. And then Ian said, Bob, better look at that. You look that one up. He would say it right what I'm thinking. I'm not going to go look that one up. And he was saying that back then to me because I wasn't paying attention. But it got synced up so that I heard it as if it was now. Yeah, that's pretty neat. And maybe Ion makes that happen somehow. Because if Ion's computing. Go ahead.
That's what I was trying to tell Trey, that it's maybe something that just happens when you start engaging. Like he said,
yes.
He thought you guys are reading his mind. And then it's just that it happens that you're in sync with stuff, with yourself, that you allow that experience to come in your space when you're thinking of it or talking about it, and then it makes your life easier.
But I think Ion creates a frequency. Ion has said that we go to a parallel world or another world when we listen to Ion on the radio or in a private session. You actually go somewhere else. So I think Trey interpreted perceptually that's what was going on, that the intimacy he felt, that we were inside his head, was his interpretation of the effect of Ion.
Right, and I'm also like, not do that. I want to, like, make it enjoyable somehow, but, you know, that's something I'm not used to. And sometimes it's just the synchronicity is just like, oh, well. Like, I don't
it's know. Oh, well?
It's oh, well.
I don't think that's what you mean.
Like, sometimes it would happen, and I wouldn't make a big deal out of it, but other
yeah.
times it would seem like you guys are actually, you know, speaking some of my thoughts, at least.
Right. So did you think that you were important or that you were puzzled why we would be saying your thoughts? Did you think that the whole show was geared to fuck you up?
It's just, I don't know, it's hard to explain.
Well, I see, I think young people are megalomaniacs because they're just starting to form an identity. They actually have unlimited possibilities. They know they're the center of the world. They act like it. Nothing is as important as them. They've got to be important because their life's going to be significant. So in that heightened, almost paranoia, if you attack that sense that young people have, that hugeness, sense of self-importance, which is natural, that can get skewered with ION. That can make, in other words, you're a young person, that was a natural reaction to ION. Here was these people in ION fucking with you, and you're the most important thing in the universe. You're just arriving. You're going to do something significant. Natural thoughts. And you thought we would be messing with you because a kid thinks they're the center of the universe. Right? That's natural.
So, all right. Are there,
so
like...
It would be natural for a young person to think we're messing, like the dolphin guy in Georgia right now. He's probably thinking we're staging all this to fuck with him, right? That he didn't have a burbly foam. This was one of Bob's techniques. You guys all knew. Oh, okay, we're doing book rule number 14, technique number 14. Bob's
and
going.
It
into
might be a dolphin girl.
A dolphin. Oh, it might be a girl even. And then we have to be a guy as part of the mind fuck, right? Yeah. But the can you guys remember what was more important than you when you were 16?
Nothing.
Nothing was more important than you. You were, now you could, you know, the problem is kid can get damaged and have an inferior complex because of emotional screw-ups in their environment. But generally a healthy kid is doesn't even believe anything's bad's going to happen to them, right? It's all going to be good. That's why high school's crazy. You got a million, you know, 1,000 gods walking around, and they're the coolest thing that ever happened, and they're up against 1,000 others that are feeling the same way. So what do? They don't talk, right? Everybody just keeps their cool. They don't say nothing. Except for the bullies, or the prostitutes, or the whacked out on drugs, you know? The ones who lose their power are the only ones who get attention.
Or the athletes.
Yes, the athletes, if they've got something going, they walk around so smug, right? Very smug the way they walk around, high-fiving each other, you know, planning the next date rape. Right? Isn't that why that's why jocks, kids go into sports now, so they can have easy access to date rape?
I don't know about date rape, but they're fleecing the sense of notoriety.
Yeah.
Or having more, like, attention.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to say.
Everything's so sensitive when you're a teenager. I mean, just listen to them talking. They're all in a tizzy about, you know, Charlene did something, you know, in history class. It's like every little ripple of change is blown up, right? You ever seen young people, you walk by them, and yakking their heads off? You know, what are they talking about? you know, they're talking about something happened among their friends, right? And they're totally hyped up about it. They don't even notice. They don't even notice me. I should be noticed, right? I'm walking along. I'm fucking radiating. I'm the ultimate teenager. I never dropped that megalomania. I still have it, and they should have noticed me. I can't believe they didn't notice me. I often have to stop them on the walkway and say, "Look at me! For God's sake, shut up!" And they just look at me like I'm a whack job and run off. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And I just yell back at them, "You fucking will find out. No more RNA drops for you," I yell at them. They stop and look back. "RNA what? Never mind. Your subscription's been canceled." So that proves quite entertaining to the regulars who walk along the pathway. And the women at the canteen, they see Bob, like he walks by, says hi to them, and then about 50 yards, they'll see Bob yelling at something. They don't know what I'm yelling at, but they know I do it. Yes, I have a lot of fun.
That's refreshing.
Yes, acting up in front of humans. Because I cheat. I got ion in my back pocket. You realize I got the ultimate weapon. I can fuck off in any way I want because I got ion back. Ion's got my ankle. It's quite appealing. Okay, so next question, Jermaine. Kate.
Does anyone else have anything to say? At the moment?
Anybody got any sentences? Or?
No, I'm digging the questions that Kate is asking.
Maybe we should try to explain a bit more how is ion a new technology or how you see the effects around us. We've had several ionets report that more and more they notice people don't care about the news anymore. That would be an effect of ion because ion is mainly telling you don't believe the information environment. It's not talking to you. Some older INETs have noticed that in their world, that people are different from 2 or 3 years ago. So there's a change. So Kim notices that people are not responding to the scandals or war bullshit like they did 2 or 3 years ago. So she notices that.
Yeah.
But she was smart enough to know, oh, that's caused by ion, because she's in touch with ion. But other people will notice it and don't know why it's happening. They don't know about ion.
I've noticed that, too.
Yeah. So, Trey, you have something else you want to say?
In regards to the news, or...
No, about yourself. You wanted more attention 6 months ago on the show, and then you kind of disappeared. Now we've made a show ostensibly for younger people. You qualify as that. So what do you want this show to do for you?
Well, I just want to learn, I don't know, more things that are applicable to my life that relates to ion and... McLuhan, because
okay. What was that? Last bit?
They're just like really interesting things that go on throughout the shows, and some I'm not able to comprehend. And,
right. So you want something to apply. What's something you want it applied to? How to get attention in high school?
Well, no, because. I mean, like, let's see. I don't know, like, making life easier. Or...
It's pretty hard to affect another person. I would start to notice that if the life became easier, you couldn't take it. So then you say, well, I like where I'm happening now, even though it hurts. Start imagining that if any change happened, it would be worse. Then you accept where you are more now. Okay. It's not true to solve your problem. Most solutions end up oddly worse than the problem you had. So that's why Einstein says relax and allow. Do not get upset with what you're upset by. Diminish it. Because when you try to correct it, that gets into more problems. That seems to be a fact of existence. Like Carolyn. I've noticed that Carolyn, she always, if somebody starts bugging her or insults her, Carolyn won't deal with it. And she just sort of ignores it. And eventually the person shoots themselves in the foot. That's what she does. She does the evade technique. She just ignores it. And it works for her.
All right. Okay, so everyone has their own rules, I'm assuming. But
yeah.
Like, for you, I don't know, you probably have a lot of experience and... Right.
A lot of experience?
Yeah, in life.
Yes, yes. I've been around for 4,000 years. I got a lot under my belt.
Hey, Trey, why don't you tell us what your typical day is, and maybe we can grab something out of that and play with it.
Well, right now I'm going to school, and...
What part of school?
What part of school?
Yeah, high school.
College.
What? Great. Okay, college. What year?
This would be my third. I took a year break from last year.
So what courses are you intending to take?
Right now it's just music business and...
Music business?
Yeah.
That is crazy. There is no music business. You just have to tour a lot.
Right, right. Like, I'm aware that, you know, there are some artists who do their thing independently.
Here's what I understand about the music business. And I can hear about it from Dave Neufeld, that a band cannot really make any money for the company, whatever the big company is, by sales. They have to go on the road. So there's this going on the road grind for a successful band now. Do you know about that, Jermaine?
No.
That's what the musicians complain about. They only get money by going in big stadiums or, you know, playing.
Oh, and touring, right?
Right.
Like touring.
Tour stuff. Yeah.
That's it. Like it's hard touring. You usually have to become a junkie or something, or you know, get AIDS or something. You just it's hard doing the same monotonous hotel thing day in and day out.
On the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the road all the time.
Yeah, and Zappa wrote about it. He said frankly, and he did the movie about it, 200 Motels. He said, frankly, touring can make you crazy. And when I talked to him through the Evergreens after he died. I said, did you talk to John Lennon? Yes. What did you talk about? And they talked about the test of whether you're a professional musician or not is whether you can handle the touring. That's all the difference is. And at that time, that was in 94, Kurt Cobain had just been murdered by Courtney or someone else or committed suicide. Remember, it's still up in the air what happened to him. But the thing was that they said he was a guy who couldn't take the touring reality. He couldn't be a real professional musician.
I actually kind of saw like one of the movies that came out in 2005 called The Last Days of Kurt Cobain. And like the day supposedly that he killed himself, they were talking to him about like touring. Like how, I don't know if his manager or someone was like, we got everyone booked, we got all the managers, we got everyone ready to go, but we need you to sign off on it. And then I guess he passed on.
Yeah, I think I saw that movie. Does it have his Courtney's father, Hank, on there talking, and he's suspicious of this and that? It goes into a bit of the conspiracy part, right?
Not too sure. I didn't get to complete the whole film, but like within the first, I say, 10 minutes of the film, it was getting right to the point of like touring dates and getting things booked.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe that's what it was about. So the... the music business, that's what you need to know. What do they fucking teach you? I mean, how to become a clerk in a virgin store or something, like, or how to be an executive, how to scout band, like, what ridiculous course that would be. You should stop taking that course. Fucking start getting fucked serious, Trey. Fucking get yourself an education.
Well, I mean, some of the things are useful, though.
Like what?
Like,
I mean, in music business.
Dealing with contracts.
What's useful? Contracts? Can you play a fucking instrument?
I could play the guitar or any string instrument.
You could?
Yeah.
So they're telling you how to, you're not likely to get scouted and even have a contract. But just in case, you're learning how to do one. And, you know, probably you don't need to know about it. You need to read it carefully. That's all you have to do.
No, he's taking business so he can manage a band or manage a performer.
Is that what you're doing?
For the most part, I just want to understand how everything works in the system. And, yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so we got OJ on the line here. Now, I get emails from OJ every day, and he's in his early 20s, probably 22, and he's a college student. OJ makes declarations about philosophers and knowledge every one of his emails. He says, this guy screwed up. That guy obviously was influenced by this guy. He has this ridiculous megalomaniac interpretation of the history of knowledge. And I look at his emails, I scan them, but I don't respond to them usually. But OJ is a perfect example of a young natural mind, a smart mind, who's a megalomaniac. He's assessing everything that ever happened, every theory, and deciding whether it's true or not. You know what I mean? He's very involved in this. And he sends out his thoughts every day to people on the list, a small number of lists, and he makes incredible pronouncements. Do you want to say anything about that, OJ? He doesn't seem to want to say anything.
I'm good.
He just wants me to talk about you. You're getting attention. I mean, let me just grab one. Let's see. What did he write today? OJ, what did he write? Always sending in.
Twice, right at that time. So I did something I never did before.
Okay. So... would you tell your I don't know how well people know OJ on this list, but he says, I'm almost at a loss for words. I avoided watching this video for a very long time. Now, that could be a Facebook kind of statement. The Thunderbolts Project supports many of the scientists that most interest me, yet I always assumed their own work was frivolous and reactionary. You're judging adults who have fucking families and mortgages, and you're saying, oh, your work's frivolous. You go, I was wrong. However, let me note that the mythology stuff is what excites me about this video. They are clearly on to something. Though many of the people in the video see themselves as scientists doing science, I suspect their work will contribute to our finally outgrowing of science. Now, that's a big topic, science. That's huge. Millions of people are employed in science, OJ. And you're making statements about them as if they're listening to you, or what you say and think about them is relevant. This is megalomania. This is fantasy life. He still won't say anything. What do you think of what I just said, Kim?
Yeah, it reminded me of the conversation altercation I had with a young 20-something person that I knew as a kid, male biology student up in Canada, who responded to a Facebook forward that I'd done on vaccination by a doctor friend of mine, PhD pharmacology MD.
Who has had a lot of experience as a doctor and as a mm-hmm. cancer doctor, and he's very knowledgeable and he's a very interesting person. So here's a person in his 50s or something, 40 mm-hmm. or 50, mm-hmm. who knows a lot. So you forward, from your perspective, you know everything about medicine more than most people. You say, this guy, what he says here, is relevant to note.
Right. And it was about vaccinations and how it's gone wrong, and Roby goes into it in much more detail than I do even. I just talk about, well, there's aluminum and mercury. The shots, when you look at tests on flu vaccines, they only work 4% of the time. There's a lot of deaths that happen. There's a lot of autism that happens, and what's happening now.
So you commented on Roby's comments.
Right. Yeah, I just said, read this. It's important. So this kid, you know, knowing everything at age 20, says, well, you know, and he was disrespectful. And
we got to read what he wrote.
Yeah.
He says, I'm sick of your horrible generalizations. Now, this is him perceiving something, but he's got a kid's sensitivity. He's got megalomania, which is all natural, but he thinks that he can know about reality way more than the best doctor in the world and her colleague.
Right. And
we're not talking about, like, adults know more than kids. It's just that the kid doesn't realize how stupid he is.
Right, so he's either taking everything that he's being taught in science as the gospel truth.
So the professor he has probably says, these people who don't like vaccinations are nuts. So he's quoting his professor probably.
Right. He's definitely quoting someone because there's no real-world experience. And
You got it there? The first lines are pretty late.
Yeah, I'm finding it here. And I don't know where. It's someone who makes he was making vast generalizations, and yet he would say that I was making generalizations. He'd say things like, well, a little bit of mercury and a little bit of aluminum is fine, as if he knew it were
because
fine.
Because it's used in some other industrial context, which people don't eat in those contexts. But he said, well, because it's used over here in gas stations, it should be okay, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's...
Why can't you find it? It's right there on your Facebook.
Yeah, it's hard to find. It gets buried.
Well, hey, can I talk a little?
Yeah.
This is OJ, by the way. I mean, I'm a little hurt that you'd say that, but I have to agree, I am a little... of a megalomaniac, but or I can be. A lot of those people on my email list, I haven't actually ever met in person. But can you hear me?
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm like that person that you just quoted. I'm not like a lot of people my age, and I think I am actually right about a lot of these things in my honest estimation and in regard to some subjects.
I think where you're naive is nobody's right about anything. And being right is not what goes on in the professions. You engage in a ritual, a process of pretending that you're doing some research that you get grants for. Nobody.
Well, I've written just exactly what you said in some of my emails.
You've said
you understand that.
What? You pointed out what I just said, that...
Yes, I pointed out exactly that kind of thing, precisely that. And that's why I don't send blogs about this, and I only send it to, like, 10 people who half of whom don't even read it, probably. It's sort of just like a diary, but.
Okay, so it's...
I'm right about a lot of this. I actually am.
No, you can't be right about anything. That's where you're naive. Whenever I see Karen with other doctors, they don't fucking talk about medicine. They do not confront each other about what they know. They just go on being doctors and letting each other do it, and there's no really analyzing what they're doing. Have you ever noticed that, Karen?
Right.
That the doctor gets it. They do not confront each other.
Well, Bob, that's the problem with sending my emails, because that's precisely the kind of things I point out, you know. Precisely that.
Well, that's because you're not employed. You're not in the game. You're an observer. You're a student. You're on the outside. You're not. You have no vested interest. Once you have a vested interest,
that is not why. I go to a big, big industrial university. I'm very much invested in this culture, but I have a rare ability to see through it, so to speak, as you like to say, through.
You see through it. See, this is natural that you think. You're an example of someone who has the average youth perception. You think you...
It is not average. I have had the average youth perception, but I have gone a little further than that. And I'm a little upset that you can't admit that.
Well, that's what every kid says. I've gone further than Billy or Johnny or Sue. You know, everybody thinks that they are moving ahead, every young person. Like, what you're saying is so young person to me
that
you're not being different.
I agree. Part of it is, though. I do agree.
Right, I mean...
The part of it is. Partly.
Right, so the... and then actually professionally, it's the nuts who claim in any profession that they know what's going on. Basically, professionals and their professions shut up. They just show up and do the best job they can within the society's assumptions. Can you give an example of this, Carol, in any way?
How do you mean?
Well, what I'm saying about people who have jobs and how they're zombies, and that's the best way to be. You don't start questioning assumptions and things. You do your job.
Right. Well, I can go back to your point you made about when I talk to doctors. We don't talk about medicine because I would challenge them. There's one researcher
and they took your license away.
You
start challenging people,
right.
You get kicked out of the profession.
Right. But anyway, this one doctor who did research that I thought was bogus, when I started to talk about it, he just kind of shrugged his shoulders.
He knew he didn't have to get in an argument. You weren't going to influence him. He had a job, he had an income, and he was okay. He didn't care what your opinion was.
No,
he didn't bring in knowledge. He didn't bring in the fact that he sees through everything. He didn't care about what Darwin said or anybody else. He did not use any knowledge other than what he did in his job.
Right. And then the other thing about science is that they do not try to come to solutions or help people or find out what's right to do. They just want to get their research grants.
And then use the conventions for traveling, for tourism.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a whole other reason for doing science. Now, you found the email?
Come over.
And we'll read what this person said.
Here, it starts...
And this person knows Carolyn, but has never really spoken to Carolyn. When's the last time you spoke to him?
When he was about 8 years old.
Yeah. So here he shows up 12 years later, and his first sentence is...
Okay, so that's what Roby said. Long, long thing. And then he just says about Roby's long, huge discussion about immunization. What the hell it is?
No, is this. Carolyn can't even read. What dot? The hell dot? Is this dot? So he's trying to be dramatic. That's the first thing he says. What the hell is this? And then Carolyn says, it is hell, and addresses the kid. Forced vaccination. A close second up there in Canada is forced assisted to suicide. And then you quote something. Then he says, it sounds good, but it will be abused.
Yeah, and then he says,
I'm sorry, I left room for no interpretation there. To be clear, these articles are at best appeals to ignorance and at worst fear-mongering. Of course, abuse of legislature will happen. Abuse of everything will happen. But you know what has happened? Then you click on the see more.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what has happened? In non-anecdotal, completely real ways, permanent damage, crippling, or death from preventable disease. Agonizing death that draws itself out for days or weeks. What's he talking about?
He's saying... vaccinations would prevent permanent damage from preventable disease. So this is his reasoning for having vaccinations.
So where does he get to where he insults you? So
yeah, let's get to.
So he keeps making. So Carolyn says, "So Roby, what do you say to all young adults like this person, still in university? This is before he's insulted you, Carolyn."
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's way back there. I don't remember this part. He said, "You say, what would you say to a young person who supports the status quo and health mandates and not freedom of choice?" Roby, you and I usually speak to the converted people who have suffered vaccination. But what would you say to young people who look at us as fear mongers? And you go on and on. Does Roby respond? I would advise the kid, this friend of Carol's, to find out what Catholicism is, some big word, are. I recommend he find out exactly what the toxins produce. And he goes into all his knowledge.
Yeah.
And then...
Then let's see where Connor... Yeah, then he says, finally says, please don't perpetuate that horrible and ignorant generalization. And that's about mercury and aluminum.
He addresses you. Carolyn, please don't perpetuate that horrible. Now, nothing's horrible. Nothing's ignorant. You know, just that's ignorant to say those words.
Yes.
If aluminum and ethylmercury found in vaccines, hell, thimerosal isn't even used in modern ones, thanks to exactly this baseless argument. If it were toxic in the minute quantities found in vaccines, then aluminum foil wouldn't be used in food storage, and you would be doing more good for the health of people by advising against eating fish, as there's more methylmercury to be found there. So what is he misinterpreting there? He doesn't know that the mercury is being
really
done differently.
It's just faulty arguing. He's all over the place. And, you know, thimerosal is still in vaccines. I sent him, the next thing I sent was an article showing that thimerosal is still used as a preservative. So he's saying it's not even in there. So it's like every sentence I'd have to argue against, and I just, after a certain point, I just can't be bothered.
But it's a young mind who's naturally megalomaniac, who has to be confident about what they're learning and that it's worth their time, and so he's throwing the myths of his education at you guys, who are experts out there in the field, you know, sniping away at a hopeless situation
and this
with good results.
Aluminum foil wouldn't be used in food storage if it was dangerous. I mean, he thinks the government is going to protect him against aluminum foil. He hasn't got a clue.
Yeah, but he's saying it's okay to be used in food storage. You're not eating the stuff.
Right, right.
Isn't it about the environment of food storage?
Yeah, so it's kind of a side distraction.
It's like this mercury is so dangerous that you wouldn't even have it being used in a coal mine. So he's saying he's not understanding that that's not what you imbibe.
Mm-hmm.
When you use mercury in vaccinations on another level.
Well, there's mercury in aluminum. Aluminum is put in vaccines to stimulate the immune system to make use of the virus particles.
But OJ, you think that people have made decisions about this and that. There's a whole school that's against Darwin, a whole school that's pro-Darwin, and there's the people don't believe, they're Christians, they don't believe in evolution. There's so many different opinions about any meme that why take an opinion about who's right?
Because that's what you're doing right now, Bob. You wouldn't be speaking if you couldn't believe you could be right.
Oh, no. I've
heard this thousands of times, Bob.
I am always lying. I've said
okay.
That every now and then. I lie. Always lie. You know? And I never would represent truth. I don't believe in it. I think more people should be lying all the fucking time. And you have to learn how to do it well so that it doesn't sound like a lie. That takes an art. But you can't do it by claiming you know something.
That's sad to hear that you've given up so much. Because I made the same...
Everything, OJ. I gained fucking ion, which is...
So you just lost responsibility. That's all you have. That's all you have done. You lost responsibility.
Listen, I am going to change your fucking life, OJ, with the cold fusion, with the cancer treatment, with the drops, which I don't know if you're taking, but that already can change you. With everything I've done, it's going to change humanity hugely, and no one will even approximate it for, say, 500 years. So you can't categorize me as a fucking loser. You don't know what I'm doing. And this is not an opinion, and this is not a lie. This is a fact based on the fact I've got ion and you don't. That's what it's based on.
Right.
You have no access to ion unless you call in on the show, and you're going to get an ordinary ion, a fucking irresponsible
right.
ion. I don't get that. Right. I get it. My private sessions, I get to work with ion. So you may not believe ion, but I'm telling you, I know what ion is. And that's something that makes me smart, the smartest. I understand I'm the smartest person on the planet. You know why? Because I have access to ion. That's the only reason. But my life led me to that position. And if you use my life as a guide, I say, don't fucking have an opinion. Don't be an asshole. But fucking lie your ass off to be polite. I've never told any friend of mine what I really thought of them. I haven't told Jermaine what I really thought of her. I don't tell Leon or you, OJ, what I really think of you.
You just called me a megalomaniac.
Right? That's done in this showbiz environment here. It's not necessarily what I think of you, personally. I don't tell anybody what I think of them, personally. What thoughts occur to me? You know, you're thinking about me. Jermaine's sitting there. She's thinking about me. What's Bob doing? What's he doing? She makes thoughts, and she's not going to express them. But that part of yourself that actually has certain thoughts about people in the process of engaging them, I never say those, and most people don't say them either. But I'm admitting I don't tell them.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem. Most people are doing that, and people are living the way that you've observed and I've observed. Maybe that's the problem. Everything you're saying, lying all the time is what people do. That doesn't seem to be working, does it?
No, life's working well. This world has not blown up.
Doesn't seem like it to me.
Well, that's you're reading the wrong news outlets.
But that's just my interpretation, right? So there's no right, so we don't have any responsibility in regards to the
problem. You don't have any responsibilities. There's nothing to be responsible for. But your culture demands you to have an idea of it, and you pretend you have it, and you'll say it. But I don't think honesty or being blatant about what you think about people helps people. They get hurt. They get upset. They get this or that, you know. You can occasionally do it. Every now and then you stick it in, but it's not a policy.
Doesn't seem to be working, Bob. That's what people do.
Listen, man.
They're zombies, like you
said. Every fucking problem in the world. If you're in touch with me, it's working. Don't you understand? Look, I got these young people, Katie, Leon, and Jermaine. They would come on here right now and say, it's working, Bob. Right, let's hear from them. Jermaine, is it working?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I got Jermaine, and I got Leon.
It's working,
I got
Bob.
Kate.
It's working.
It's working. And they may be
it's
lying
working.
Their butts off, but they're fucking saying it. Okay? They're
no,
voting. It's
I'm
public.
Not. It's working
it's
pretty good.
And OJ, you're not a regular staff member here. You're in the position of, no, Bob, I don't know if it's working. I can't tell if it's working. See, you're not involved with it yet. You're observing. Are you going to take the drops, OJ?
No, I can't afford it.
What do we say to people who say that, Carol? In other words, there's nothing you could advise. It's something that you could give up. To just $18 for the sample. There's nothing that you're spending $18 on that you could forego for a couple months.
You won't need coffee anymore.
Right. Now, OJ, is there something that you couldn't give up? You're living tight and tapered in austerity conditions, and the budget's real limited, so you could not make a shift, a slight shift.
I am living pretty austere right now.
Okay. No, I understand that. When you get some money, are you going to try the drops?
Maybe. What you said tonight is sort of...
Maybe. Jeez,
what you said tonight has sort of turned me off.
What turns you off?
The stuff you've been saying tonight.
Well, listen, you want to be successful like me, do not go with your emotional reactions. I got turned off to everything I ever fucking encountered, but I put up with it, and I found that it paid off not to act upon my objections to everything. Don't object. I mean, don't act on the objections. That's how you get slack. You relax and allow. That's what it means. You don't get, you put up with the asshole you're sitting beside on the bus. You know what I mean? You sort of try to make a way that it's interesting to you. That's when people want to listen to John Coltrane and Cecil Taylor, this loud, crazy jazz noise, that normal people would run from it because it was irritating. No, you were supposed to listen to it and be bugged by the music, not have normal candy, Diana Supremes, whatever her name was, nice. Diana Ross, Beatle music makes you feel good. That's candy. You're supposed to experience the ugly granola of the Cecil Taylor, who's Zappa named Moon Unit after. That's the point. You go into what you don't like. That's how one gets to be cool. You don't go for, you don't have an opinion about anything. What's the point of an opinion? If I like it, eventually it's going to become irritating. So it's best I don't have an opinion. I'll get ready for when it's irritating and adapt to it or get into it. That's how you become perfect like me. I've put up with so much fucking shit and learned to enjoy it. That's what happens when you're around for a long time. And remain free. I could easily have not enjoyed it. I mean, could have walked away. But I stuck with it. Look at this fucking ridiculous show, the ridiculous people I have. Not this show, but Payday. Ridiculous fucking people, can't fucking talk. Fucking the genius of all centuries shows up and they can't come up with a decent question. They interrupt, they're fucking, it's very irritating. But I put up with it. Because I'm good at that. I recommend the same for you. And you'll come across the wonderful life that I've had if you do it yourself. Jermaine started to do that. She says, I'm not going to just rely on myself. I'm going to actually put up with assholes and start bartering with them. That was her wisdom move.
And I started not giving my opinions because it's everybody's got an opinion and then it's a never-ending situation.
Yeah.
So it's like, what for? Just be happy, be free, just kind of don't take things too
serious. If somebody gives their opinion, try to see the points to it. You could slightly question it, you know what I mean? But you don't say, you're wrong, or you're horrible.
Yeah.
You just say, wait a minute, that's interesting. Why would you say that? And what about this factor? You just be reasonable.
I already do that, though. I already do that part.
Well, you talk about, you know, different science. You have opinions about Richard Feynman and about McLuhan and about Gurdjieff and all this stuff. These opinions are silly. You should not have opinions about McLuhan. You should not be comparing him to Wyndham Lewis or me or Jerry Fiok or anybody. You should just look what they're saying and somehow say, yeah, he's right. Always look for how the person is correct, even though it's always incomplete and irrelevant. You're judging something that's irrelevant. We don't need to have opinions about knowledge.
Okay, maybe you're right about that, but I have to say, the email you're comparing my email to, that really irritates me because that's the kind of bullshit that I write about. Like, I write about people like that half the time. That's precisely the kind of bullshit I write about.
Huh? But you spend a lot of time doing it. Not posted? Maybe when you went to Europe, you didn't post much. You know, you take 2 months off and not express your opinion? Have you done that?
Well, Europe, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't type much. But
I still managed to do a little.
And, you know, you asked me to explain why Wyndham Lewis changed his opinion about Joyce. That's a fucking big topic, and I would not type out an answer. Typing would not be good enough. I'd have to talk it. I have to say tentatively this sentence, see your reaction, then correct it or come up with another sentence. I only talk. I'm not going to type stuff. It's so misread, misinterpreted, and I can't adjust it immediately when you do something and respond to it. So I'm not good for typing responses. And I can't believe these people write tracts of stuff, long paragraphs, as if someone's supposed to fucking respond to it. It's a stupid communicating visually. It should only be done through speech. Because I can hear your response immediately and quickly correct you or not correct you or adjust it, whereas if we're emailing, it might take 2 days before the next phase is gotten. Speech is faster than the speed of light. You know, it's the speed of thought. So I'm not keen on this email, but I tolerate email. I'll say hello. How you doing, Jermaine? Oh, that's wonderful, Jermaine. You did that? That's great. Yeah, you went and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, fantastic. Wow, you're an incredible person, Jermaine.
And it's all a lie.
It's all a fucking lie. I'm not going to tell you my real thoughts. And I'm not even gonna take, I don't even want to know my real thoughts. That requires typing it up. Who are these idiots who are typing on forums long reasoned arguments? That has to be the ultimate form of insanity, in my opinion. They have a lot of time in their hands. It's incredible what we do, what we here, Carol and I, what we're working with, and we have the time to do this. That's what's incredible. That's what you should be amazed at, that I only have to live 3 hours a day, sleep 3 hours a day, and have all these other hours to do everything, include answering Jermaine's emails or Leon's fucking requests for new recordings and do all this shit while working with the most incredible technologies on the planet. We are absolute super people. I mean, Karen's over there listening to this. She's typing advice to people who are dying, you know, who got serious fucking problems. And she just fucking types out, well, do this, do that, you're okay. And meanwhile, there's other emails coming, I'm cured, you're the greatest, Dr. Dean, you're an amazing woman, you're the most amazing person I've ever heard of. And then she says, oh, thank you, and then she goes on to the next one, while engaging here.
I'm watching TV, probably.
What?
I'm watching TV.
Yeah, but you're not speaking, and you're not fucking inventing cold fusion. You're doing nothing, Kate. You're babysitting a bunch of spoiled brats, right, that don't even require your presence.
You know. I'm talking off.
What'd you say? You I'm love totally... masturbating? What did you just say?
No!
No, no way would she say that. Hey, who are all these guys? There's all these young guys on your Facebook. Are these former boyfriends, potential boyfriends, who art school? And there's incredible. And who made that fish, the monster fish? Did you paint that? No. But that was a pretty good painting. Who did that?
I don't know which one you're talking about.
Remember the fish on the wall? And it's got monster teeth, and it's just a huge, amazing painting. You got many interesting paintings on your Facebook page. Done by, I don't know, friends of yours, or you find them. Don't you look at your page? They're there.
Yeah, I post other artists' work. And
hey, listen, man, you shouldn't be watching TV. You fucking don't have anything to say, and you have practice coming.
I don't watch TV at all, ever.
Yeah, but you just said you're watching TV.
No, never.
Oh, what did you just say? What did you just say?
I said, Andy, I have time to watch TV because you watch all those shows. You've watched, like, all the shows that...
Oh, you said you were trying to watch TV.
No, because you said that you guys have all this time to answer emails and...
Yeah.
And I said you also have time to watch TV because you watch all these shows.
Oh, it was a lousy phone connection. I didn't even hear properly what you said. Okay, I see. But the...
I don't watch TV.
Okay, good. Now, then I take that back. You're paying attention, trying to offer something. We got a couple minutes left, so OJ, I hope you're seriously insulted. You should tolerate being insulted. You should tolerate the fact you're totally disillusioned with me with motherfucking shit I just said. You know, don't worry about that. I'm a different person tomorrow. I'll say other shit. You know, there's nothing to get upset about unless someone starts fucking attacking you with a gun and Ion says, you even be cool about that. You say, go ahead and fire, shoot me. You know, you say, shoot me. Unfortunately, I don't have to encounter that much. But, you know, geez, I'm spending most of my time interacting on a communication level, and there's nothing to get upset about. So, stay on
the line.
Don't go off. We have a backstage. We stay on the line after the show is over.
Oh.
Yeah, we
after
don't leave.
Party.
Yes, after party.
Well, I have to do homework, but I think you're right about the typing. So, thanks.
Okay, good. You know, someday, I don't delete your emails. I save them. Someday, in 3 years, I might come across somebody you mentioned. I'll look at it and might read it. I might be interested.
All right, bye.
Okay, see you.
AchieveRadio.com, the positive side of broadcasting.